Welcome back into the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro, who's off today. We talked about this before. He's got his fantasy baseball draft he's done every year. They're doing it remotely now, and they're still going to do it with the hopes of baseball happening this year. So he's off today, and I'm in instead. But just because Seren's off doesn't mean it's not business as usual. And that means on a Friday, we talk to Kevin Harlan, the voice of America, who's been silenced for now. Kevin, you haven't had any sports to broadcast for a while. I know you're finding a way to occupy your time. You've got a full house, and your kids are a little bit older, and some are about the same age as mine. Have you found some time, and has it been fun to be around your kids a little bit more than you normally would be at this time of year?
Oh, yeah. Great to be on with you. Great to hear your voice, and hope everybody is staying safe and healthy out there. It's a very turbulent time for all of us, very uncomfortable, obviously, and we think of those and pray for those that are going through the actual virus and the condition, and if families are affected, but so we have not lost track of that. But yeah, normally we would have a pretty empty house, and we would be doing the Elite Eight regional finals this weekend, Sweet 16 games, as of the Final Four. But obviously, that's not taking place. No Major League Baseball, NBA is shuttered themselves here, as everybody else has. So very quiet time. All the family is in. We have a daughter in New York, and she came back a couple weeks ago, really before it got anywhere near what it is now. We've got our daughter from Wisconsin here. Our son was here for a while. He went back to Denver, and as soon as he got back to Denver where it works, they told everyone to go home. So he's kind of in limbo. We may get him back to Kansas City. And let's see, who am I missing here? I've got and our one daughter lives here with her husband and their baby. So we're all in Kansas City except for our son, and everybody is knock on wood healthy, and we're like everybody else, sanitizing, wiping, and washing, and everything every day. My wife, I think, has actually kind of enjoyed making many meals with, you know, it's just the two of us here with an empty nesters that we are, that we would have, you know, we'd either go out or have smaller meals or whatever the case is, or she'd be traveling with me. And now I think she's kind of been thrown back into being a mom with a full house in terms of busy kitchen. So she's enjoyed that. She loves to cook, and so we've had some great meals, and it's been nice to have everybody back. Normally, like I said, it'd be the regional finals this weekend, the Sweet 16 beginning last night, continuing tonight. And so with none of that, with the NBA down, I'm home and cleaning up my office and finishing up some paperwork and filing some things from football and basketball season, and kind of like everyone else, reading books and watching a little TV and taking walks and things like that.
Now let's talk a little NBA first, because they've kind of, I think, I was listening to Commissioner Bowlesby from the Big 12's teleconference yesterday, and they kind of, I think college basketball obviously followed the lead of the NBA. When Rudy Gobert tested positive and they took everyone off the court down in Oklahoma City that night you're talking about, that's when it got really serious for everyone else in college basketball, because they had gone through about 18 hours of, all right, let's have games. We got the people are already here in Kansas City. Let's play some games tonight. We won't have people in the stands tomorrow. And then it was like, all right, it's off. We're not doing this. And NCAA, same thing. So Mark Cuban, I saw some comments. He's hopeful that they could maybe get back playing some NBA basketball sometime, maybe in mid-May. Probably wouldn't be fans there or whatever, because I think they could find a way to test players and get that going. What sort of things are you hearing from the NBA? Because they've kind of been on the forefront of a lot of this, because they were right in the heart of their schedule and were a very high-profile league, obviously. What sort of things are you hearing about on the hopeful end and maybe the other end where maybe there won't be basketball at all this year?
Well, I'm not hearing much, and I think they've been, I think they're really following the guidelines from the CDC in Atlanta and from the health experts that they've already got on staff and trying to figure out, you know, what the best, but I sleep right now. I think they're waiting until there's a handle on the severity, which we know in New York is it the maximum. I mean, it just sounds like they're just bursting at the seams, which is so sad. And of course, that's where the league is, and that's where my employer CBS is. And so, the two companies I work with, or the two entities I work with, are really affected. And the NFL is there too. And of course, they have said they're going to go ahead with the draft, which comes up in about a month. And but they'll do it remotely, and I think they've basically haven't decided yet if they're going to have teams allowed back in there. Offices to conduct the draft, or whether it will be done at a separate site. I mean, I think there's still a lot of unknown here. So the NBA is very much in the middle of that. Now, whether they try to conclude the regular season, which would, you know, has about, oh, roughly 15 games remaining, which is quite a bit, actually, when you think about it. And then they got this long two-plus month playoff scenario. My guess is, and I have no information, this is just a, I'm just spitballing here, is that I think they'll probably condense series to three or five games that would normally be seven. I think they'll try to keep the, if they don't finish off the regular season, now they may have a playoff game if a team or teams are separated by one game, they may have like a mini playoff or something to decide among those three which one would get in. So I think there may be some consolation there for the teams that are on the cusp. But there are a lot of teams that are way out and have no chance, and probably, you know, why expose them? Why take the chance of putting them in harm's way and play for really nothing except a paycheck, which, of course, like all of us, we're all hoping we still continue to get. But there are a lot of people taking cuts, and the you know, players are played – are paid per game per week. So it makes a difference on the games they miss. So I don't know what the players' union is going to have to say about this, but surely they'll be heard. And what about our, you know, a lot of our constituency that would not be getting those game checks, the 15 game checks that remain? So that's a big deal, obviously, for all of us and for them in particular, because it's a pretty big check. And then they don't get paid once the season is over. They're done getting paid, like in the NFL and like in Major League Baseball. So that is a concern. How long can you drag this out without, you know, going up against the beginning of the next season if that would start in time? I've heard the shortening of what remains in the regular season, if they have that at all, shortening of the playoff series perhaps, and then, you know, maybe reconstructing the season overall, Todd. Maybe they'll begin, instead of in mid-October, they'll push it off a couple months and begin when they say their unofficial beginning of the season is on Christmas Day. Maybe they'll begin on Christmas Day and extend into the summer. The summer is the least filled of any sports calendar, you know, in the entire, you know, season. You've got only some tennis, you've got golf, and of course you've got Major League Baseball. But there is no pro football. Hockey, of course, and you go head-to-head and side-by-side through the spring into the late weeks of spring. So, I mean, there's just so many things you could look at here, but it would not surprise me if they would alter when the season starts next year, when the season starts, how long it is, and how long it will continue. Maybe they'll shorten the regular season from 82 to 68 games. Maybe they'll say we're going to start our finals in late June and have the draft August 1st. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think everything is on the table like it is for all these leagues. I think there's nothing right now that's not being talked about and discussed.
Kevin Harlan is our guest, and I think you're right. I mean, we've been talking about this for a few weeks. Nothing would surprise me. There are no bad ideas. Talk about them all. And I know there are a lot of people talking about what if. They're all kind of setting dates, and if you can do it then, what could you do? There'll be a lot of contingency plans to get this done. But with all of them, as you kind of mentioned there are unintended consequences, because there are union rules with some of these sports leagues, right, where they're going to have to negotiate with them. I know Major League Baseball and the MLBPA have been talking about some of the things that they're going to possibly do. This is not as easy as us just talking on the radio, say, well, just start it then. That's what we've all found out how complicated life really is. Nothing's really simple in all this. And once something gets upset, it upsets about 16 things down the road. And you don't realize how interconnected we all are, because, you know, one of the things we're missing, obviously, on the NCAA tournament, and there's, you know, NCAA wants to help out with some spring athletes, maybe giving them an extra year of eligibility for things like baseball and softball and those things. But then that gets into next year. What about some freshmen who were going to come in and take those people's spots? And this is an Olympic year. Some people were taking years off to go be Olympic sports. It's all very complicated, and I think at this time, it's okay to discuss just about any option for any sport, because we're going to need a lot of ideas to get through all this on our silly part of this, which is just the sports part that isn't even as complicated as the real life part, correct?
Well, I think you've kind of hit on some real nice themes there about just everyday life and the freedom that we as a country had enjoyed, the world had enjoyed, being able to go to places and shop and dine and seats to sit in stadiums and arenas and events to attend for the arts. I mean, you can let that list go on and on and on. And, you know, life has a way of sometimes making individuals reboot with a casualty or a death or something. This is a worldwide thing, and rarely are these instances seen where an entire planet can kind of reset their compass a little bit and figure out, what is important. So I just think that there's so much that you would consider, and the leagues are a very complicated animal. The mechanics, and you've touched on it, I've touched on it. So I don't think, like I said, I don't think any of us are going to take anything for granted. I think we're also used to having, a light switch go on, and if you lose power because of ice and snow or storms and you're without power, you begin to appreciate how great it is to have electricity and warmth because you've got gas or whatever, however you heat your home, however you light your home. And you always kind of step back, and it kind of puts you in check, and this is going to do that, I think, for so many of us. Something as frivolous as the NCAA tournament, as you mentioned, for the fans, but when you dig deeper into it for the schools, you mentioned the student-athletes, the people that teach at these universities that rely on that check from the NCAA that goes through their athletic department to the tutors and the people that teach the athletes and the people that train the athletes. I mean, it just, the tentacles of everything being affected by this is immense. And if you start to follow how one thing triggers another, the domino effect, it's pretty startling when you really put pen to paper and start to map out the web that is affected by a loss of a job, an illness, or a complete shutdown. And so we're seeing all these different scenarios at play, and you just hope that the people that we put our trust in, doctors, nurses, the first responders, the people that are involved in the front lines of fighting this virus and trying to keep us healthy and warn us, stay healthy themselves. There's a lot here at play, and we're talking the candy store of life, sports, right? But it does affect a lot of people's livelihoods, supporting their families, putting food on the table. People have taken cuts. They've lost their jobs because of layoffs and furloughs. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And college sports is really so susceptible because they rely so much on the TV money from this tournament. That is a big chunk. I think the commissioner of the Big 12 has kind of illustrated that. There have been subsequent stories about what March Madness means in the overall spectrum to universities keeping their athletic departments going, providing scholarships for people that couldn't afford school. I mean, just on and on and on. It's a complex, it's a myriad of things, and we can only sit here and hope, and if you're inclined to pray that this is handled in a way that can get people back to normal life in all phases of life.
We're trying to get through it the best we can. We're still doing sports radio. We're still trying to inform and entertain people the best we can, because that's kind of what we do. We are the candy store, as it goes. We've had a little bit of fun at because March Madness would be going on. Westwood One has given us some games to play, and the University of Kansas has given us some games to play. Tonight at 6, we're going to have the Elite Eight game between Ohio State and Kansas from 2012 that sent the Jayhawks to the Final Four. That's the Kansas broadcast. And then after that, we're going to have the 1983 National Championship game between Houston and NC State on the radio. So I've actually enjoyed listening and seeing some of these old games as they're out there. And I had watched on CBS, I think last week, they played that 1983 final. And I happened to turn it on. My daughter was home. And we're watching the end of that Houston-NC State game. There was 55 seconds to go in the game, and it was the final possession. There was no shot clock or anything, right? It was just a different world. I was trying to explain to my daughter, this is it. They're going to dribble the ball. And she says, what do you mean? I said, this is how basketball was. There was no three-point line. And, when the Lorenzo Charles dunked the ball through the hoop, clock didn't stop. There was still 2 seconds to go. Ball, game over. It's funny to watch how old games were and kind of hear and see the way they were called and the way that the rules were. Have you had any fun watching any of these things you've seen come across TV or hear them on the radio over the past couple of weeks in your downtime?
Well, last night, and I didn't even know it was airing, they aired the Elite Eight game between then number one overall seed Illinois and Arizona from Chicago. And John Thompson and I broadcast that game. I had done five Final Fours before I moved on to the Super Bowl, and but that particular year was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Allstate Arena, which is right by O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and it was, I think, a 15-point come-from-behind win for Illinois. They went on to St. Louis and won the national championship for Roy Williams. And North Carolina did. They beat Illinois, but Illinois made the Final Four.
Yeah, with Bruce Weber. Yeah.
Yes, beat Bruce Weber. Exactly. I didn't even know it was on. I had a couple of people text me last night. He goes, "Hey, I'm listening to your game." And I said, "What game is that?" He goes, "The 2005 Illinois-Arizona game." I didn't even know it was on. So I didn't have a chance to hear it, and I would have loved to because it's been so long. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So I would have really enjoyed hearing that game.
Air checks.
I didn't even know it was
yeah.
on. We were watching that last night. We've been trying to watch a movie every night, and so last night we'd watched 1917.
It's great. Oh, so good. So good.
So last night we started that weird Tiger King.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Tiger Balm, whatever it's called.
Tiger Head. The Border Patrol is infatuated with this. We talked about that a lot this morning on the Border Patrol. As you can imagine, this is Stephen and Jake's favorite thing in the world. So I've watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a trip, no doubt.
Yeah, we're two things into it. But man, oh, man, I didn't even know that world existed.
It's out there.
And it is, and it's not that far. It's down in Oklahoma.
I know.
One of the preserves, I guess, or preserve, probably one of the businesses.
Yeah, businesses. Preserve. Yeah, let's not say preserve.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
one of the locations.
One of the locations. So anyway, I hadn't seen that, and the kids last night said, "Hey, let's turn this on. People are talking about it." So anyway, we watched that last night. So I wish I would have heard the game as opposed to watch that Tiger thing. But anyway, I've got, like all of us, we've got our favorite memories, but that 83 game, Gary Bender was doing it, and I'm a friend of Gary, and I was watching parts of that, and it's so fun to go back. Watch the win over Memphis when KU won the national championship. Watch that. I think that was last weekend, maybe Sunday, and that was a lot of fun to watch. So, these have been great, and it just kind of gives you an appreciation for the past and how great an achievement it is, how hard it is to win, Someone even said, texted me, said Bill Self was doing a live
tweet,
Twitter chat along the way to talk about plays and players and situations and what he was thinking. I thought that was cool. So, there's a lot of ways, I guess, we can kind of use our imagination to make something that's happened in the past come back to life. And this is one way CBS is doing it. You know, and I think you had talked about, we talked about off the air, but CBS and Turner are actually paying all the freelance people that would have worked right through the Final Four and into the golf season. These people don't operate with contracts. They operate literally event to event. Now, they sign months in advance to do that event, but there are some networks that are not paying for missed games in hockey and in basketball and so on, but CBS has been very great with that and paid all the people that would have worked these weekends. It feels right. It was the right thing to do, and I applaud them because some companies are not taking that stand, and this has been something very admirable. And one of the nice stories coming out of a very uncomfortable situation that we're all in with the virus.
All right, Kevin, before we let you go, let's do our Final Four here.
You're like Sorin.
Oh, yeah. I'm in for Sorin. We're doing a Final Four. All right,
we were just talking
about old games. If there was a game, it could be any sport, these are short answers, so we don't have to go long. If there was a game that you didn't get to call, which game in history would you like to have called?
Well, I just answered this for Sports Illustrated. They just called me the other day, so I'll give a bunch of different little answers. I think doing Super Bowl I would have been phenomenal, not knowing what it was, but knowing that it was historic. If there was one play, I'll do that. If there was one play that I wish I could have called on radio, it would have been the Marshawn Lynch touchdown run in the playoffs in 2010.
Yeah, beast mode
against
run.
Against the New Orleans Saints. He broke about six, seven, eight tackles. And for a radio play-by-play guy, it would have been like such a great challenge to call that. You know, he stiff-armed, he spun, he broke, he cut, he got a block, he got another block. He was, you know, and he worked from the middle of the field to the sideline. He got a touchdown. He backpedaled in and vaulted in, going airborne, and truly one of the great runs I've ever seen. So if I guess I would have loved the challenge of calling that play on radio. That would have been fun. And had it been called the right way, the description and the emotion out of that run, I think, would have just come just screaming through that radio set and into your ears. It would have been phenomenal. So I guess that's the one play that I wish I could have called.
All right. Number two, when we get back to sports, will there be fans in the stands early, or you think they'll play some without fans?
I think they're going to play without fans. That's just a guy. I know nothing. I just can't see them packing 19,000 seat and 80,000 seat venues because they fear the virus will linger and maybe it'll dissipate in the summer, but it could come roaring back in the fall. And until they know, they won't know. And I think they're going to be precautious. Now, they may say for an 80,000 seat stadium, we're going to have people sit at least a seat apart, so you'd have 35, 40,000 in there. They may do something like that. Who knows? I don't know. But I can't see full stadiums right off the bat, no.
And number three, you've been eating a lot at home, right, and probably getting some carry out here and there. And you don't have to stay in Kansas City because you go all over the world if you don't want to make anyone mad in Kansas City. What's the first place you'd like to go out and actually sit down and eat that you miss right now?
Because I have so many places in Kansas City, I will pass on that one because I could give you 20 places I go. But if I had to go for a meal, my first meal back, I'd go to Gibson's in Chicago, get the biggest garbage salad they got with prime rib and some asparagus or some spinach, and then they serve this cake that's as big as your head, and I'd act like chocolate cake with vanilla ice cream. That's what I think I would do. And I might have a little beverage before and during.
There you go.
That meal.
And finally, you're watching The Tiger King, but what's next in the queue for the movies? What movie do you want to watch here while you're sitting at home?
Well, I don't know. One of my kids said maybe we should go back to some of the old classics like Gone with the Wind or Casablanca, and that might be kind of nice to kind of change the pace. But we did just watch 1917. I did enjoy that. So one of my daughters mentioned Casablanca, so we may end up watching that on TV. We try, like I said, we try to do a movie night tonight.
Have you watched Knives Out yet?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Yes. I was going to say, watch that.
I feel like
great.
I've watched just about everything. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. We watched, that Hunters thing with Al Pacino.
Yes, yeah, on Amazon.
The Nazi Hunters. Yeah. I don't know what it was. I think that was interesting.
Well, you need to finish the Tiger King for the Border Patrol guys, okay? You got to finish that. So you guys get through Tiger King and you're good. Yeah.
Tell Stephen and Nathan that I want to come on and give my two cents on this because we're two episodes in and these are odd men.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
That is a wacky show. I don't watch a lot of TV during the season. In fact, I've watched more TV in the last 2 weeks than I think I have in the last 20 years.
Probably so.
We just started that last night, so. Maybe I'll go on with those guys next week in the morning and talk about my thoughts.
Oh, they'd love to talk to you about it. Hey, thanks for your time, Kevin. Stay safe and enjoy the time with your family in this downtime, okay?
Thank you, Todd. Great to be on. Same to you and your family. I know you're surrounded by a lot of them. Got people coming back in this weekend. Take care of them. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you guys next Friday.